tape service. This is Saturday, June 11th, the Holden Bible study on the images of life. Today our image will be that of water. And I'm Dwayne Addison, your enabler from South Dakota, where it's slightly warmer than North Dakota, but not much.
Rare.
Let us begin with prayer. Again, some silence, and then feel free to offer your prayers if you wish.
Lord, we ask you to be present and to bless our niece, Frances and Mark, as they are married today. Help them to know that they are in our hearts.
Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we have enjoyed since we came here. We thank you for our teacher. We thank you for all the people who attend and for all the good things that you give us from day to day. And especially we do thank you for this place. In Jesus' name.
We thank you for many blessings since we've been here. We thank you for a safe journey across North Dakota, Iowa, and Washington. We pray for all those that come here to get revival and all the things that go with it. Now we pray for a safe journey for all those that have come. And when they go back, we pray that God will guide us. We will have guidelines to go by. Ask in Jesus' name.
Our Father, we ask you to bless our instructor. Give him much courage and wisdom. And then give us open hearts so that what he gives will sink in and bear fruit to eternal life. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for this week here at Holden. I pray that you'll give our group a safe journey back up in the school.
Spirit of God, we thank you for the water that cleanses and heals, that gives life, life that pours up into eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Amen.
One thing that we've been here almost a week, and I've hardly been out of this little compound here, and it's sort of unusual, and it's a good thing to be away from telephones and to be a few other restraints. But one of the things I decided to do this morning after the early Bible study was just to walk along the creek down here, and I found out I had to share that with the deer and another doe and that, and I sort of waited, and I said, that's their territory, so I went back and went the other way, and then I discovered this sort of a carved, like Madonna lot figure. It's also along the road where the path goes up on the road. And part of it, I enjoy teaching a course at Augustana whenever I can. We compete to teach this course. It's the most popular one we have, and one in the college, I think, on the prophets, and the course that teaches itself. And a couple images came to mind, one in particular that is a favorite of that of Amos. A part of an angry passage of condemnation at quote-unquote the church of the time, but it ends in an invitation, a strong invitation. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And I dip my hands in that cold, cold water and realize why one of the reasons you don't swim in it is too cold, and the other is a very swift current. But cold and refreshing, and that's what God requires of the covenant partners, to show forth justice and righteousness and mercy. Then another image from the prophet. That will not be our focal text, but the Bible is so rich in images of water. Isaiah 55, the climax of that portion of the book of comfort in the book of Isaiah, perhaps the most beautiful, poetically speaking as well as theologically speaking, of all of Scripture. Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, delight yourselves in sadness. What a marvelous description of Holy Village, but also the blessings of God. Maybe a little bit lighter than the fatness, Lord, but the water, fine. Today, the images of water, and the particular text that we'll finally end upon, will be that of the stream, of the river. Many texts, I put them on the board. If I had chosen a text to deal with the theme of water, I would have chosen John 4, 1 to 30, the story of the woman at the well, where Jesus announced himself as the source, the well that lives up in the water that moves to eternal life. And the other passage I put there, because if we deal with the book of Revelation as we're doing again today, one not ever, I think, pick up the book of Revelation without having handy or doing before the prophecy of Ezekiel. Imagery is drawn from many sources, but the prime set of images that are in the book of Revelation are really borrowed. They're not new. They're borrowed from the book of Ezekiel. And the very end of the book of Ezekiel is the image of the city of God. And the very image that we'll look at in a few moments here is borrowed from that, giving a new shape. But it's the same image of the water that flows forth from the throne that leads to life. And much more. Let's begin by, again, taking a look at the image, connecting with their experience, and then moving on to some biblical texts. And there are many biblical texts that are rich of this theme. What pictures, activities come to mind when we lift up the picture of water? What do you think about?
Quenching of thirst.
Quenching of thirst. Perhaps the most obvious.
Baptism.
Baptism. I want to talk some more about that because the imagery of baptism I think we often miss because it's rich in scriptural imagery.
Cleansing.
Cleansing. Washing.
Okay. Children playing in the sprinkler or something like that.
Yeah, it might be something I was going to do. There are two of the images that are in the packet here, and one I think is a marvelous image. Well, I don't know if you can see that. In an urban setting, in this case, black children, obvious in the system, they're sort of desolate in the background, but the hydrant, you know, it's sort of an artificial thing. The sheer delight in the sprinkling, refreshing waters of the fire hydrant. And the other image there, I'm glad you mentioned that. Very appropriate for here, water cascading down from the mountainside, almost certainly water that's from melting snows there, and down below the signs of vibrancy and life that water gives.
Rain.
Rain. Those of us who are in the Dakotas know how important rain is. That's true. And you have to play it.
Water certainly represents baptism, too.
The waters of baptism. Yeah.
Our bodies are a great deal of water, percentage of water. Just, you know, each human being is made up of a certain percentage of water.
What is that percentage of it?
Pardon?
What is the percentage of it?
I can't remember, I would say.
I had the figure of 2/3, but I don't know if that's accurate.
80%.
Huh?
90%.
That much?
90%
or something. It's an incredible amount.
Yeah.
But also we have tears, and those are water.
Okay, I hadn't thought about that one. Somebody called attention at the time that when Christ and the cross, you know, the blade went in and water came forth. Remind us of that, and I hadn't thought of that image before.
My son was in Mexico last summer, and he came back talking about the lack of water. Inability to grow crops or to even hardly survive.
Much of the world. People have said in the field of development, the single most important thing that would save lives, and take the lives of children, would be the provision of sanitary drinking water. It would save more lives per penny or per dollar than any other effort. So it's not only crop, but human lives. I have some students of mine that done independent study this past winter in Haiti. And they talk about the thing that almost incredible difficulty there of getting fresh water. That's a fact around the world. So the image of contaminated water, or the lack of water, which is drought.
Wells has to be at water source.
Wells. A frequent biblical image. So much attention there because it is a dry land. And you're on the edge of the wilderness, and unless you're in the valley of Jezreel, water is always something that is seen as a gift.
Arizona's having farming now by irrigation through wells, deep wells, but I mean they're 10 miles long, is my reproduction.
I hope they last.
Well, the desert's blooming to a certain extent, that way you do.
The wells, yeah, please.
You have to have water, it's vital. You can only live for 3 days without water.
Yeah, oh, that's another thing. How long can we live without, you know, water intake? In 3 days? It's like that. Not very long.
Can you say that it's one of the most or the most essential thing in life?
Well, I guess I put alongside air, we would say oxygen, but you know, outside of that, I don't know if there's any competitor to it. You can go a long time without food. And that, but 3 days, she says, without water.
I rather think of water as being neutral at times. It can be either crystal clear, it can be polluted.
Yeah.
It can be powerful, like coming out of the streams here, it can be very still. But it's like so many things that we make can be good or bad, they're different depending on what we do.
The negative image of water, let me pick that up, but just take that in the Good Shepherd Psalm here. The Good Shepherd in Psalm 23 leads us by these quiet pools of water, the places of contemplation and refreshment, of safety.
Water can also mean death.
But water can mean death, destruction. This past few weeks, you know, we've seen the floods in the south, and Pearl River, for example. Yeah.
I live on Lake Superior, and we're constantly reminded of the good and bad aspects of water because it's a source of pleasure and food, but it's also very lethal if you're out there in the storm.
Yeah. The large body of water. I spent a good part of my life in the Navy and out of ship in long periods of time, and so my first long seaborne thing were going through hurricanes in a very small vessel. And water is a very terrifying thing. We used to joke about this because we looked around us and all the sailors that were there were Midwesterners, and somehow the people there had a longing for the sea, and I just sort of become jelly when I become near body water because it's something powerful. But also that sort of thing, that to see waves that are 75 to 100 feet tall crashing down upon you, just hanging on and strapping yourself into the bunk to live, and tremendous power that water has.
The erosion might be a negative.
The erosion, yeah.
We haven't mentioned transportation. We wouldn't even get to Holden if it weren't for...
Yeah, that's right. We wouldn't be here without it. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that one either.
Quenches fire?
And it quenches fire. Boy, that's a good Holden image. You thought about that fire alarm went off yesterday. Those hoses around here are life-giving. Yeah. Please.
If I was going to lose all my conveniences in the home, I want water to be the last.
Yeah, you sort of think back in the days where there wasn't running water or handy water, and you have to do it. Okay. The destruction again. I just really touch upon that. The storm.
Very good water here.
Pollution. Pardon?
Very good water here. We have chlorine in our home, and it's like this.
Yeah, you don't have to drink that chlorine soup here that sort of covers up all the things. It doesn't take away the germs, it just sort of deadens them a bit. Yeah, the purity, the symbol of purity.
Provides power.
Power.
The water.
Yeah, you can harness that. I don't know how much here, but when I walked down today, I saw the water wheel down here, and I don't know how much of the power here we get from that, and I imagine you could get...
No, there's a bigger one up. All the power.
I didn't realize that.
Less than half a block up from the water wheel.
You think you're only tapping a portion of that power that's in there.
It's interesting that after hearing all this about the power of life water has, it also has the power of death.
Yeah. The story of the flood, well, in a moment, we'll be talking about some biblical images here, but the story of the flood destroyed so much of life. That is a part of the story. Any other image? Cleansing. The giving of life in the form of quenching of thirst and making life possible. Of refreshment. Go ahead.
Enjoyment,
yeah.
Provides recreation.
Mm-hmm. Recreation.
Very much so.
And the waters of distraction.
It's something that comes to the just and the unjust, too.
Yes.
You know, we can't control, oh man, it's starting to...
We try, but it doesn't.
Control, but we can't make it rain consistently, maybe they try to keep the clouds down and keep thinking that we'll get control, but, you know, this is whether we're good or bad, whether we get the water we need.
For those of you who live in the little place, South Dakota, about a decade ago, we remember the great floods and a debate that's still not resolved here that whether a part in cloud seeding because they've been experimenting in the Black Hills and floods. And if you've been to the Black Hills, maybe that's true here too, that you have these fantastic storms that may last for a moment and they're just like somebody dumping a bucket upon you and it sort of comes. But at that time in Rapid City or just back into the hills, you know, that. Perhaps, I don't know, we were experimenting and trying to control the water, the rain that comes, and maybe out of that came the waters of destruction. And I was in Rapid City just a little later that summer, and this little placid little creek that comes through here, not at all like Railroad Creek, had become a torrent.
Water can be very soothing.
The jacuzzi.
Huh?
The jacuzzi, which you don't drop any detergent in, by the way.
Or just hearing the constant running of the creek or watching the ocean waves break.
Yeah.
Mesmerizing effect.
Rhythm. Please.
We needed to make bread and different kinds of food.
Just preparing our food. There isn't much food to prepare without water.
Water is also connected with the birth.
Yeah. Something reminded me after that, you know, the bag of waters, you know, that out of the womb and with the child, you know, the fetus sort of exists before it comes to birth, the life-giving water. And in the traditional world, it just, you know, the waters. Of water we have come.
It may water your plants or your grass or when it gets dry.
Yeah.
Add fertilizer menu.
The water is to continue support. Now, I was in Sioux Falls these days, but I hope the young students living in our houses sort of probably need to give water to our lawn. And,
it comes from two different sources, above and beneath, and it can't be manufactured. It comes from below, it comes from the clouds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The wells, that marvelous process, I think of something almost miraculous, is that the system here that draws it up and then brings it back again and recycles it, and that whole sort of thing of the winds and the evaporation.
When you think of it, God made so much water for the whole earth. That's all the water we have is what we got right away. And it's constantly being recycled and used over and over again.
We have polluted it, and for many parts of the world, they say, well, that's one of the major things I said in developing countries, of finding clean water, because we pollute the water we use. But our industrial pollution, that many places now is very hard to get safe water. You know, we probably forget that here, and there's so much of it.
And even the talk about making it rain, while we're absolutely helpless, until the clouds are brought in.
Yeah. You just have to have the right amount of moisture there and you crystallize it at the right moments and hope.
And then sometimes we're helpless. It turns out like back in the 30s, two men were standing on the street in Williston,
mm-hmm.
watching the clouds, and one said, it looks like we're going to get some rain. Yeah, we got Noah, that's them fish going home again.
Yeah, those who have lived through the dirty 30s in the Dakotas or in the Great Plains, remember how precious water is. Again, so much of the Bible comes out of the desert or a land that has little rainfall. And water is appreciated. With one guy that's been in some of our discussions, that's from Forks, Washington, who claimed the same there in the west slope of the Olympics, 120 inches of rain a year. That may be too much, but I never know what that would be.
Kind of makes you wonder, like she was saying, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But you wonder why some have to get more than they need and others are crying for it.
And when you think of how dependent we are on in our homes, like the electricity now here is dependent on the power of the water, and a lot of the heating systems is water that's circulating, and cooling systems are the water that's circulating.
Mm-hmm.
We were building a church out in our area, and my brother went to Granada to get a load of cement with used 4 horses, full load, and these big dark clouds started rolling in. He didn't know what he was going to do, because if cement gets wet, it's no good.
Yeah.
And when those clouds got almost to him, they just divided and went around on both sides.
Sometimes the job probably get better.
When we were in Arizona, I remember they told us we couldn't flush a toilet, we couldn't ever have water for meals unless it was absolutely necessary. And it was 116 degrees, it was in June, and I never dreamt how precious water was. And then when you went out in the desert, they had a certain cactus, I forget the name of it, that stores up all this water. They just swell when it rains so that they can preserve themselves through the year. They get just fat. What's the name of the cactus that gets so fat? Because they keep the water inside. Yeah.
Oh, the big ones, okay.
Uh-huh. And then that keeps them surviving through that terrible drought.
And they can go for a month without any moisture.
Without any moisture at all. And Arizona is really one state that really prizes water. Yeah.
Well, they fight about it down in those of you been in Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, thinking about that, again, my image of being aboard a ship, one of the most precious things aboard ship is water. You don't think about it. You're surrounded by water. For your water for life is all has to be run through a very very expensive process of distilling. You know, you have to distill that water. In fact, it has to be filled. If you have steam operated ship, like the larger ones were when I was in the Navy, that has to be very pure, much purer than you need for drinking. And all of that has to be sort of very carefully distilled, and you took a shower, we learned in that, and you flip on it and soap up, and you'll flip it on again to wash it off, and that was a rare sort of thing. We were out at sea for several weeks here that you took your tendons out, and they said, you don't bathe in salt water because your body requires that to be washed off, and that would take more water. And so that's all that water around you, and that rhyme with the ancient mirror, nor any drop to drink. And you did not waste a drop of water, because you know that it had to be shared with many and true, and if any time, you always had an auxiliary sort of system to back up. But the most emergency sort of thing aboard a ship was when the distiller, goes out of whack, and then you don't have the water to there. And that's an ironic thing, because in all directions, as far as you can see, is water, but not any you can drink. The Bible is filled with images of water to speak about as many activities. Let's begin to share some of these in your own memory, or if you want to turn to the text to see what some of those are. What texts come to mind? What stories?
Well, we should start with Genesis.
Genesis.
When God created the earth.
God brooding over the waters of chaos. By the way, that's another symbol. Maybe we've touched upon that. Water is a symbol of chaos, disorder.
We're having a hard time hearing you back here.
Oh, okay. But I was going to mention that. We start with Genesis on that story that the waters are there and God bringing order out of the chaos out of the water. Again, and anybody else that can't hear, either myself or other voices, wave your arms and shout. Carol, do you want to say more about it?
just offer it as a starting point.
Our Revelation text picks up the early chapters of Genesis. We'll come to that.
The water of the flood.
The water of the flood. What does that say? What does that mean?
Destruction.
Destruction.
Salvation.
Both yeah. Destruction and salvation. A new beginning.
Separation of the Red Sea, you know, that's life there.
Okay. The waters of the Exodus. It is through water that the people were liberated and the nation begins for the people of Israel. The Exodus is a water symbol. It's picked up again in the book of Isaiah. It speaks about a new Exodus that's to come.
And the song, the heart meddled through the water brook.
Many images of the Psalms. The heart longs for its water and the brook.
The still waters in peace.
Okay. The Good Shepherd's Psalm. The image of the still, peace, calming waters. Isaiah, that's the water, the flowing of the stream. It must be a mountain stream, I don't know. Amos comes from the edge of the desert. And righteousness and justice are to flow like this. What other biblical image? What about, somebody mentioned baptism before. I said we should come back to that. Very much connected with water.
Naaman the leper.
Naaman the leper. The healing and the cleansing. Is that in the Dirty Jordan?
Turning water into wine.
Okay. Water into wine. And it's the ordinary water of purification. Not the sweet smelling stuff there, but this becomes the wine that is the first of signs. The Gospel of John puts forth.
I see a Galilee, disciples fishing.
Okay.
Walking on the water.
The basic gospel stories are around water. Fishing, the activities, Jesus on the water.
Commanding the waters to be still when they're out in the boat. Storm.
Jesus' command over the destructive power of the water.
In Psalm 147, it talks about God giving the snow like wool and casting forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? And he sends the word to bring the thaw and the waters flow.
That's
a lot to where some of us end up.
We have a joke in our family. We have a good friend of ours who's a lay Lutheran preacher and a professor. And we lived in New Haven at the time. And New Haven, that Sunday we heard him preach, was just sort of black, you know, it was in the winter. And he gave a sermon of the book of Job. Have you considered the marvels of the snow? And he talked about that as the mercy and the forgiveness of God. We stepped out of church and beginning to snow, and before it stopped snowing, there were 36 inches of snow that had come down. I never seen anything like that in South Dakota. And they sort of used to that. And they said, don't preach like that again, because the snow has come down, and it becomes water. And that, but again, we have the image of the ice and the snow that become the water. Other biblical stories. What about the one, John 4, Jesus and the woman at the well? What does that have to say?
The living water.
I am the living water. The well that brings living water.
The well of salvation.
The well of salvation. Again, that well or spring is a frequent image.
She was just lucky to be there at that time.
Yes. Most of us are lucky to be at the right place at the right time. That's true for her, very much so.
She was there before he was.
Many images in that story, that the disciples would have to do with her. She was a woman of not so good character. She was a Samaritan. She was running to the water of life.
I can't
to explain the rebellion of the people of Judah. But they are forsaken as the fountains of living water. That's what God and His mercy has given. And the fountains that naturally gives life-giving and healthy water. And so we have built systems of your own nature. Systems that cannot hold water. And systems that are over here and also the climate effect. The water is not very light for the drink. It becomes stale. That's what they have chosen. That's the stream of the revival. So, things and why is anybody do that? The best of living water is to take the stuff that you have created to save the stuff. Yes?
But when that reputation is, when we talked about the energy of water in the happen. Moses brings forth water from the rock. Same power reminds us of what we're going to say. That rock is safe. You're going to be out here. The rock is in the rock. I'm sure it is there.
Just like in that, it's just
It's a good thing to have a good eye on the sky for you. For God, I guess.
And maybe you're back to them, even if they're not wise. But there's nothing in the universe where it's kind of a wise, isn't it? That's what that's the word of God. Because the water is spirit, the water and the word, the water is connected to God. But it's the beast that has its meaning. Some things are like that. I don't know if it's the last. Turn to a passage in Revelation 22. You can all have it here in small print before me. Somebody has the ISV and a bit of other translations made on the passage of Revelation 22. Revelation 22, beginning of verse 1. Who has that handy? The ISV. That's the first. Loud and clear. 1-5.
Then he showed me the river of the water of life, right as scripture, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding a tree each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall no more be anything of this, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his
shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
You say amen about that. What things strike you as scripture in that passage? What is the deal with water? What is the water? What is the water? What does it account? Pardon? A tree? The means of eternal life. That's correct. Good. And when does the water come? Again, as we noted yesterday, most commonly used greeting in the book of Revelation is the Lamb, the one who has sacrificed to the image of the cross. And we talked about the marvel that it's done, Jesus on the cross, and the first and then water is very close. And so they're connected.
Okay.
Yes. This is an estimate. We even say here that it is the river that flows by the sea of life. And once again, the sea of life is restored. Bringing forth fruit in all seasons.
So much of restoration is with the 12 fruit. Probably couldn't find the 12 planets being reunited.
Even more commentary is in the back. The 12 sides are not only the 12 months, but the 12 sides. The names upon the forehead. During the connection of baptism, you're named in the forehead of
baptism. The water flows through the middle of the sea, through the middle of the center of the people of God. Why is the baptism?
Water to the center of the city. Again, it's not going to be not only that Ezekiel passage, which is patterned after Ezekiel 47, but Psalm 46, the image of the city of God, which is one of the mighty fortress there. Again, it's going to be water flowing in to the middle of the city. What does the water do?
Purifies,
cleanses, heals. The life of the sea. Mm-hmm. Life of the sea is the symbol of life. Where do you start? Now it's not the way for the healing of the nation. Again, I think that lands in this revelation. God is going to restore to the heavenly city. And God is going to, in Revelation 21 and 22, are the image of the city of God, which all things are restored, begin to the image of the new heaven and the new earth. And the recurring theme in the book of Revelation, that God will draw into God's kingdom people from every tribe and tongue and nation. They will be healed.
I think that's very significant how that you're talking about this at this point, because when you think of all the turmoil and all the history and all the bloodshed and everything that's going on among the nations, the city is a need for healing. But it will not be for the healer until there's a lot of healing. At that time, is that the way you understand it?
I don't know how you interpret Revelation of these images, and that's about time you said that this world is doing well come. Now,
I can't quite agree with that interpretation. I think that almost sounds like we're supposed to wait for the second coming or something before healing. I think that we as Christians have a responsibility to work for healing, to work
as present here to do what we can to do about stuff. Through all of Marxism, the kingdom of God is here at hand right now. We are working within the kingdom of God. How can we step through and cross that the message of love and of that Christ being said?
I suppose we are continuing in the process of trying, and we are trying to bring about peace and healing between these nations that are fighting each other. It isn't an easy job, but I'm sure the Lord has, like he says, a job for us to do. We can certainly get in there and do something. To us, it seems impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. So if he gives us an assignment for all time, I suppose it's our duty to install our ears and do whatever he wants us to do.
But there may not be some confusion, though, unless some of those people think that they're going in. But the people have to come with you to the starting point. But Jesus is not going to do his thing at the end of time. Jesus is doing it now. Though he just merely has done Erlander's little book, and by faith alone, and he has a sort of a provision, he calls that. The story he gives a very personal sort of thing, and he comes to the risen Christ and he says, what can you do? What can I do to stop nuclear war? And what you can do nothing. Which means, not that you were helpless, you ought to do nothing, but that Christ is already feeding the nation, working to bring shalom. And the direction of the Christian answer, Dan Erlander says, is to enter into Christ's work to do. And that is an issue. To recognize that the kingdom of God is here now is the doctrinal mark in the church. To repent that it's turned around and just enter into the work of feeding what is here now. That passage of the healing of the nations is the assignment of the servant and the songs of the servants in the latter part of the book of Isaiah. He is to be the healer of the nations. My friend in the Jewish community says those seven passages as a sign to the task of Jewish people. Christians are saying that these are, in fact, what Christ is doing. And the meaning of being a part of the body of Christ is to share in the ministry of the task. And a part of that task is the healing of the nation. So, the vision of swords and the plows here, that vision from Micah and from Isaiah here, is what God is doing. And we're invited to share in the task of the work of the servant. Like so much of the book of Revelation, all of it, I would say, is premised upon the cross. Where does the water come from? It comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The Lamb in the book of Revelation is the crucified one who has conquered. Again, that image I think we mentioned yesterday of the early church, of the Lamb, the bleeding Lamb with the banner of conquest. It is not our job to conquer on our own, but to bear witness to enter into the conquering power of the cross and the power that is there. Eternal life of eternal life is here now for the healing of the nations and for the healing of ourselves. Give life to the city of those who are beyond. One day in God's time, it has already begun, Jesus has already come. Nations are to be healed. But life is flowing. I think it's the meaning of the church to be a part of that body, to be a part of that river. There's coffee time and there's precious water and that coffee, so let us share my soul. Lord, you have promised the water of your spirit to cleanse us, to heal us, to refresh us. Grant these days we share together to be marvelous days of healing, of peace, of refreshment, and the giving of life, that we too may share in the work of your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.